Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard of the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken Radio, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken Radio is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, and the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the day-to-day operations of the oil and gas industry. On today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, we talk with Dan Hetherington from SEH about the Davis Refinery public meeting. The public comment session concluded January 26th, and we talk with Dan Hetherington about that public meeting they had the week before, about who showed up, what type of vibe there was during the meeting, and what some of the comments were. Dan Hetherington in just a moment in our weekly Davis Refinery update, and we do go into overtime with Dan. We do an extensive weekly Davis Refinery update this week as we conclude the public comment portion. Also, Tiffany Steiner, Christy Baumgartner, representing API Dickinson, Tiffany Steiner with the North Dakota Petroleum Council, Christy Baumgartner with Wyoming Casing. Well, with API Dickinson, they're putting on the 21st annual API Gumbo Cook-Off happening February 17th in Dickinson, North Dakota. They're going to be on a little bit later on the program with more details about that. And then Lauren C. Scott, energy economist, consultant, expert, he gives us an update on the energy economy, what to expect with some of the happenings geopolitically in the world of energy. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing, and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Now it's easy to see how I could become.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Up next, our weekly Davis Refinery update with Dan Hetherington from SEH gives us an update on the public meeting that happened in Dickinson, North Dakota.
Okay, well, thanks for having me. But, the public information meeting went great. It really did. So, To give everybody kind of just a little bit of a quick background, when we submit for these permits, we actually submit the applications. We have to submit with them all of the design information, the design data for the project, and that's been going on for a very long time. I think that, you know, since our first original submittal, it's been well over a year. We have been working with the department very closely, and they've been doing an outstanding job just reviewing the information and, you know, offering suggestions and thoughts and you know, kind of going back and forth with that. So on December 8th of 2017, they were in a position where they were comfortable issuing or comfortable with a draft permit. They said, okay, so this is what the permit's going to look like based on what information we have and, you know, what levels of emissions that you folks are at. So what they do then is they start a public public comment period. Typically that lasts 30 days. In this case, they extended it out to 45 days because it was over the holidays. They issued this on December 8th, because that's when it started, and it actually ends on January 26th. So yeah, it ends in a couple of days, and that's been going very, very well. Part of that process is having a public information meeting and a public hearing, which was held on January 17th. That was held at Dickinson State. It was just an outstanding presentation by the Department of Health officials. They kind of get up and they talk about the process, their authority, what rules and controls they are guided by, and then they talk about the project itself. They said, okay, here's where the Meridian project is with its emissions, and then they also gave comparisons so people could put it in perspective. Those comparisons included, you know, like UND, and it included other refineries and other projects. So it was a real great presentation. Once that's done, they open it up a public hearing process where people can come up and officially, you know, make statements that are recorded. And then if they are relevant to the air permitting process, then the department will act accordingly and respond as needed or respond if needed based on what those comments are. So that was on the 17th, like I said. I would say 230, 240 people-ish showed up. It was great. The vast majority were supporters of the project. When they opened up the hearing portion of it, only about, I think, 42 people ended up speaking. The majority of the people that spoke had concerns about the project, and so it was a great opportunity for them to get up and actually kind of, you know, voice their concerns and ask questions, some of which, you know, the department's going to respond to, like I said, you know, if it's appropriate. So we were thrilled with it. We really were, and we still are. Not only just the way that it was handled, the way that it was handled so professionally and so informative, but also because it gave people who sometimes feel that, you know, maybe people aren't listening to them, now they know they're listening to them. They know the department was listening, and they know that the government officials were listening to them as well. So I know I kind of went on at length about it, but very, very pleased. We're very, very pleased with that.
I'm going to ask you a two-part question, and you can take whichever direction first you want. The first part, I need to set the table, the narrative a little bit here. These public meetings sometimes can be a little confusing for the public because they will bring up topics and issues that have nothing to do with the public meeting when they're focused on the bigger picture. And, you know, that's happened quite a bit in North Dakota. And I'm used to it. I've been covering, you know, government affairs for 25 years. So I'm very accustomed to it. And at the same time, I'm also very accustomed to the public. It's difficult for them to understand that. So with that being said, were there people that were voicing things that had anything or not to do with the air quality? Because my understanding was this was an air quality related meeting. And second part of that question is that if there was people who focused on the air quality part, you mentioned there were some concerns. What were the concerns?
So the two-part question is, you know, what were some of the other concerns, but what you know, were they actually addressing air quality concerns? Some of them did. To be honest with you, the vast majority, for I sat and I took good notes through the entire process and listening to them. They weren't necessarily in regards to air permits, but I think, you know, that, you know, these, you know, say 30 or so that were there speaking about that were, you know, just saying, you know, it's about location and trying to bring up, you know, that actually without, I don't want to get, you know, be derogatory in any way. But, you know, some were just criticizing the department and how they're handling it, or criticizing the way the government handles this kind of stuff. And in reality, you know, I felt that was unfortunate because, you know, this is the business that we're in. We understand the permitting process. These processes are pretty consistent throughout the entire country, and they're pretty thorough. And people, you know, that make general accusations like, well, nobody's looking at this from that perspective or that perspective, really isn't true. So that was some of the accusations that were made. And like I said, it's unfortunate because these projects are highly regulated. They're being reviewed by many agencies. I think we have over 30 permits that we have to secure for this project alone. And each of these little divisions and government entities are reviewing them thoroughly and making sure that they scrutinize every little aspect of the project. But, you know, sometimes the public doesn't, you know, see that. So they'll say, okay, we saw this air thing because it was, it was up front and you know very visible, but you know, not realizing that the exact same thing happened for the water, but they just didn't see it or something, or the exact same thing is going on for other permits.
Mr. Dan Hetherington, hold that thought. In just a moment, we're going to come back to you. But first, I want to take a moment to thank our good sponsors for allowing programs like this to happen for free. All of us here can enjoy this great information on Building the Bakken Radio. Once again, Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Underneath the stage lights, you've been up all night, driving home and pouring your home at night.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. We continue our interview with Dan Hetherington from SEH about the Davis Refinery. The weekly update we have here with the Davis Refinery has gone into a little bit of overtime as we conclude the public comment session for the air quality permit January 26th. Dan Hetherington from SEH was part of the public meeting that happened the week prior. He's given us a little bit more of some information as a fly on the wall, as a representative for what happened in the public meeting in Dickinson, North Dakota, involving the Davis Refinery and the air quality permit. This is Dan Hetherington with SEH.
These projects are highly regulated. They're being reviewed by many agencies. I think we have over 30 permits that we have to secure for this project alone. And each of these little divisions and government entities are reviewing them thoroughly and making sure that they've scrutinized every little aspect of the project. But, you know, sometimes the public doesn't, you know, see that. So they'll say, okay, we saw this air thing because it was up front and, you know, very visible, but, you know, not realizing that the exact same thing happened for the water, but they just didn't see it or something, or the exact same thing is going on for other permits, but they're not aware of those things. So there's a lot of attention that's given to the permit of these things. So to answer your question, you know, yeah, there were some criticisms being made, but in my opinion, they're unfounded, especially because this is such a highly regulated type of a project and it's being reviewed thoroughly. And the state of North Dakota is doing an absolute amazing job, you know, reviewing this project.
A couple of my flies on the wall during that meeting mentioned how a lot of the complaints were in quote unquote stereotypical fossil fuel complaints that had to do with, you know, dirtiness, et cetera. And I'll be honest, I was a little surprised. You know, I knew there would be some because, let's be honest, there's an actual profession of protesters. That's where, I mean, the actual full-time job. People get paid to go around the country and protest against fossil fuels. That's a actual reality. But what surprised me, I guess, is that you mentioned earlier that the health department did show some comparisons, because that was one of the things that through this process, I've done a little homework on this thing and talked to a number of different people. And you take almost any agriculture plant and what you guys are proposing and what is looked at being done. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys are on par to be cleaner than a lot of those things. So you mentioned the health department did some of these comparisons. Did that have any impact on people when they showed some of the other plants in the state that were going to have a lower air emissions impact?
I think it did. It really did. Once the, you know, the hard information was actually up in front, it was actually displayed on a big overhead screen PowerPoint presentation, and they showed some of those comparisons. This is all available, by the way, at the Department of Health website, what those comparisons are. They did some to, like I said, other refineries, some to, you know, university, some to, you know, different projects. And even then, I believe that they did a lot more than even what they showed in the comparison. This was just a good group to show in the overhead. But we are very low, and we, you know, the project meets the synthetic minor source requirements. It falls well below those thresholds. So, you know, it's interesting. Like I said, I mean, the vast majority of the people there were supporters. In my opinion, I'd say that over 80% were supportive. And the reason we found that out was one time when one woman got up and made some comments in support of the project, the vast majority of the audience broke out in applause. And we were grateful that they were there. But actually, you know, they were trying to understand what some of these people were concerned about as well. So the number, even though they did the majority of the speaking, the number of people who had concerns was much smaller by comparison to the people that were there who were supportive. One of the things that really surprised me, Jason, was at the end of the meeting, I had an opportunity to just talk to people and, you know, answer questions and just kind of get a feel for, you know, the general tone of what people were thinking, what they were concerned about. One of the things I was really surprised to hear, because I heard it on multiple occasions, was that some of the, a lot of the local people were concerned about private property rights. And, you know, when does, you know, an entity reach outside, you know, and start imposing restrictions or requirements on private property? So I was, you know, very pleased to see that, you know, a lot of the supporters that were there, you know, period, because people come out on a night that they'd rather be home with their families and stuff. But I also surprised at what some of their heart issues were, their issues that were close to their heart. I mean, obviously they all wanted to know what the emissions were going to be and stuff, but some of them were there for, you know, their own personal reasons. Some were there for, you know, private property rights issues. Some were there for, you know, just to try to stop an oil and gas industry project, you know, in general. So we had a pretty good mix.
Yeah, I heard most of it was pretty well positive. And like I said, my fly's in the wall. They reported back stereotypical concerns. And, you know, whether good or bad, doesn't matter. And that's just, you know, I think everybody knows what those are. My question, I guess, my next question is, Billings and Stark County are the two that are going to benefit from this, Belfield, North Dakota, where Billings County, and then I don't even think Billings County has 1,000 people living in the county, actually. I think they're just under 1,900 and some. And then you got Stark County, which is right next to it, where Dickinson is. And Dickinson was one of the fastest growing micropolitans in the United States the last 3-4 years, 5 years. Did they have anybody from the public officials speak? Any residents get up and speak about, you know, you mentioned the property rights one, but I know we've talked about jobs in the past and a few other things. Anybody from, from a public standpoint or a citizen Tory standpoint from Billings or Stark get up and talk at all?
Yeah, actually, they did. I mean, so, like I said, a lot of the people that were there supportive, they were just, you know, kind of listening to what, you know, people that had concerns were trying to voice. But we did, you know, saw a lot of people there. By the way, a lot of people, just governing officials from Dickinson, from Stark County, and from Billings County, but also Belfield. So Belfield, woman spoke up, representing the community, talking about how important it was to her and her family, but also to the community as a whole. And, you know, we were just, you know, thrilled to hear that type of support and people recognizing how important it's going to be. It's not only going to be just, you know, something really good for Billings County and Stark County and Belfield and Dickinson. And Dickinson is this, you know, this business hub in the area. It's easily recognizable. Belfield is extremely supportive, and they have a great downtown district, and people are going to love to live in that area. But you know, this thing is going to be impactful for the state. It's going to be impactful for the nation as a whole. In general, I mean, there's recognition that diversity and location for refineries is a very important thing. So a quick example, when the hurricanes hit the Gulf Coast, it was something like, we lost 30% of the refining capacity in the United States was down during that time frame. And that's harmful. That's a big deal. I mean, it affects gas prices. It affects a lot of different things. So because they're all, collected in this general area, when weather impacts happening and things like that, there are big impacts to the industry as a whole and to the services that are provided in the United States. Well, if we can have more of that kind of stuff up in North Dakota and other locations, then all of a sudden, that capacity not so much of it goes offline. And we don't want any of it to go offline, but the fact is that if something like that happens, if you have diversity in locations, you have multiple, refineries across the United States, and especially starting with North Dakota, all of a sudden, it's less harmful to the nation as a whole. There's a lot of big benefits to this project.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Hetherington from SEH or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Table was set. She had collard greens and a pot of baked beans, but she hadn't cooked the main course yet. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention too. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
That hand should have seen it coming. A hatchet and a butcher block. But she was too wrapped up, strutting her stuff to see the water was getting hot. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to me. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you.
It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing, and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us on the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Up next, we talk with Tiffany Steiner with North Dakota Petroleum Council and Christy Baumgartner with Wyoming Casing. They're representing API Dickinson about the 21st annual API Gumbo Cook-Off happening February 17th in Dickinson, North Dakota.
My name is Christy Baumgartner. I work at Wyoming Casing. Tiffany Steiner with NDPC.
And we're here today talking about the 21st annual API Gumbo Cook-Off, and that's right around the corner, Saturday, February 17th. So, okay, guys, I gave the basic headline here, the Saturday, the 17th, 21st annual API Gumbo Cook-Off. So set the stage for us. What can people expect?
Well, you can expect a good time. We're out here. There's about 18 cooking teams, and they all come together from the oil and gas industry to raise some money to give back to the community and to fund the API Scholarship Fund so we can give money to students going to college and to support the local communities. There's a lot of fun. They come to compete to see who can cook the best gumbo.
So how many teams do you normally have? Did you mention that earlier about, well, first of all, it's the 17th. So are you guys still accepting teams? How can people find out more information? And then maybe even in the past, I guess, what kind of numbers have you guys had for participation?
We cap out at 18 cooking teams. Previous teams have preference. They have until the 2nd of February to see if they're able to get their teams together. If we don't have repeat teams compete, you can contact us at just apidickinson@gmail.com. Yep. So we don't know if we have open spots until December 2nd for sure or not.
February 2nd.
For participation, we have around, or for attendance, we have around 800 to 1,100 people that attend and taste the wares that everyone puts together. We have live music and the Thunder Road that plays for us. It's open to the public about 6:30 p.m. The cooking begins at 11 a.m., so it's an all-day event, but it's a fun day.
Now, last year, it was in Dickinson, and I imagine it's going to be in Dickinson again this year at the same location?
Yes, at the same place. It's Motel 6 in Dickinson, right across from McDonald's.
That was a great location, you know. The thing that I liked about the API Gumbo Cook-Off is it's almost like a combination of a festive party and a trade show because, you know, the trade show, you go from table to table and this and that, but it's all in one room, whereas trade shows are so big and spread out. But this, it's all in one room, and you kind of contain the whole party right there, so you get a little diversity, but then at the same time, you don't have to leave the party to get the diversity.
It's a really fun crowd, I think, because every company comes. I mean, you have 18 teams. You take each team has how many people, and it's a really fun atmosphere because it is something they want to come compete, but yet they want to come have fun with the public. And it's something to give back to the community as well.
You mentioned money, scholarships, that sort of thing. Talk to me about the money behind this. Attendance, tickets, that sort of thing, any sort of raffles, any sort of fundraisers, that sort of thing. Talk about the different monies that are involved from the tickets all the way to the scholarships.
Absolutely. It's $10 to come in. For $10, it's kind of all you can eat when you come in the door. We also have a 50-50 raffle, so 50% of what we raise goes back to the scholarships committee, and then 50% goes to the winner, that lucky night. And then also, we're supporting the ladies' auxiliary. They're going to have a bake sale that night, so after you taste the awares of everybody's gumbo, they'll have a bake sale that night. So we're kind of supporting a couple different things that night.
How about sponsors? Do you guys have your sponsors locked up? Are you looking for more sponsors? Talk to me about who's involved with allowing this 21st annual API Gumbo Cook-Off to happen.
Well, we're always looking for more sponsors. We have very generous companies in the community that help put on this event, but we can always use some more. So if there's anyone out there who would like to help sponsor the event, we always welcome more sponsors. And again, you can contact us through API on Facebook or through the website that we mentioned. Or you can contact Tiffany and Christy via cell phone if you have our cell phones, or Wyoming Casey and NDPC. Definitely contactable through there.
That's one thing I love about the oil and gas industry is, you know, we're on like 30 radio stations, and probably half the people do have your cell numbers.
Yes. I believe they do.
Well, it just shows you, really. I mean, because the oil and gas world is large geographically as it is, it really is a pretty tight-knit community, isn't it, guys?
It's amazing how much the oil and gas community comes together to support communities that they're in. Everyone pulls together to support the people and the communities within they work. It truly is amazing. One big happy family.
Okay, so, all right, so let's wind up here a little bit. And what do the companies compete for, by the way? I know that Bakken Barbecue, you guys do a trophy, that sort of thing. I can't remember. What are people competing for during the API Gumbo? I know it's for a greater cause, but there's always, you know, some sort of, you know, a little symbolic trophy or symbolic bragging rights, if you will.
I was going to say mostly it's the bragging rights, but yes, we do have trophies. For the cooking teams and for those of us that have teams, we like to spread around the bragging rights, but there are monetary things that are handed out, prizes, but there's also trophies handed out for first, second, and third, and then for also people's choice.
Okay, people's choice. Okay, let's just kind of summarize really quick here, and in terms of the dates, times, all those different things, and if you guys are, if there's any prizes or anything along those lines. So go ahead and just kind of summarize the event, and go ahead.
So it is the 21st Annual API Gumbo Cook-Off, Saturday, February 17th at the Motel 6 in Dickinson, North Dakota. It's $10 admission with all-you-can-eat gumbo, and we also have a 50-50 raffle for $10 a ticket. Getting time. It starts at 6:30 for public taste testing until it's done. And then the band at 8:30, Thunder Road will be performing.
Thunder Road at 8:30, okay. All right, let's take just a couple seconds and take the API hat off for a second, put on the Bakken Barbecue hat, and give us some quick information on that. I know you guys have the dates handy, that sort of thing, and are you guys looking for sponsors? You got that kind of wrapped up here? You got 30 seconds, a minute you can talk about the Bakken Barbecue?
Of course, I always have 30 seconds for the Bakken Barbecue. This year's Bakken Barbecue is June 15th. And we're always looking for sponsors. We're really excited. It's our 6th annual. We have a Southern barbecue theme this year. I think it's going to be a great time. Last year we maxed out at, I think, 22 companies. So we're going to see what this year brings us. We're excited, and we always have a fun time giving back to Make-A-Wish.
Southern barbecue theme, huh? Boy, the sweet tea is going to be flowing that day.
It is.
Awesome. I can't wait. Okay. Any final thoughts? Anything that we missed out on either the 21st Annual API Gumbo Cook-Off, Saturday, February 17th, or the Bakken Barbecue? Anything that we left out?
You know, we're always looking for sponsors for both. They're such great organizations, and we couldn't do it without the public support or company support. They run because of everyone's sponsorship.
To listen to the full-length interview with Tiffany Steiner and Christy Baumgartner, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
No mercy from the dead black sky. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com. Click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Every drop of water in the world is ice, sharpened in the sickles like silver knives. The lines keep coming where the lanes divide. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night. Soft and warm, yeah. Hey, yeah.
Over the past past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavin of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own, where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit CoachingWithHatch.com. That's CoachingWithHatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. Meridian Energy Group, Inc.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dr. Lauren C. Scott of Lauren Scott Associates. Powered by coal. And you know, coal's been under attack for a decade, and I always laugh saying, if you like turning your lights on, then stop harassing coal.
Oh, yeah. You're exactly right. I mean, sometimes I want to say, well, tell you what, let's do this for a month. Let's just take a month and don't use any oil, don't use any natural gas, and watch what happens. Well, that movement will go away and nothing flat. When people see how difficult it is to move around, how difficult it is to move food around, how difficult it is to stay warm or stay cool, depending on where you are, it's amazing. And there's no way in hell that wind and solar are going to fix that problem. They're just way too tiny, way too unpredictable. Sun doesn't shine all the time, wind doesn't blow all the time. And people say, well, we can use batteries. Well, what? You think electricity comes out of a socket in the wall? Electricity to come out of a socket in a wall, it has to be generated by coal, natural gas, fuel oil, typically by fossil fuels. So it's a hairy mess, but that's what life is like out there right now.
Yeah, I guess so. I tell you what I've seen is honestly a very proactive industry, an industry that wants to constantly be ahead of the curve. And you know, really, when you look back, you know, the EPA was created by Richard Nixon. And even Ron Paul, who's probably one of the most libertarian Republicans there is, he's even said, you know, there is a need for the EPA in terms of a general stop dumping toxic waste into rivers, that sort of thing, you know, but not all the way to where, no, you cannot, you know, pump a natural gas molecule out of the ground. And that's where I think the extremism has gotten to the point to where we've gotten so past common sense.
What you're already seeing is the U.S. economy starting to grow, pick up its growth pace significantly since Trump came in. And one of the reasons is Trump took his pen and undid what President Obama did with his pen. You had a remarkable, you look at the number of pages in the Federal Registry. Look what happened to the number of pages in the Federal Registry during the 8 years of the Obama administration. It was big increase, especially in his last year. Unbelievable number of regulations. Well, what is happening now is that the President Trump is going back and with the same pen. He's erasing those things. And, he took Principles of Economics, we teach that regulations, adding regulations, shifts the cost curves of firms upward and causes them to produce less and hire fewer people. And when you lower cost curves and you increase output and increase employment. And that's what we're starting to see already. You're starting to see 3% growth in real gross domestic product being common, okay, instead of something that never happened, certainly on an annual basis, never happened during the Obama years because of this. And I think, well, the primary reason is a tremendous amount of regulations that came out during his tenure.
Dr. Lauren C. Scott, quick plug.
Well, I retired from LSU back in 98. I taught at LSU for 30 years. But I have a speaking firm. I've had the wonderful opportunity to speak up in North Dakota about three times. over the past since 2007. And then I give about 50, 60 speeches a year around the country. And then I have an economic consulting firm that we do. Out of that, we do the public speaking, but also do the we do a lot of impact studies. We're doing right now an economic impact study of the energy industry on the state of Louisiana, and talking about refineries and pipelines and oil and gas extraction. And then we're about to start up one. There's ExxonMobil has four big facilities here, a refinery, I think the third largest refinery in the United States, and then they got three of the chemical plants, and plus a lube plant. And we do an economic impact study of that on the local community to help people see just how important it is to have these firms in our area because of all the extra the jobs they create through the multiplier effect as well.
All righty, sir. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time today.
Okay, bud. Jason, it's good to talk to you again.
To listen to the full-length interview with energy expert Dr. Lauren C. Scott, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Well, the nighttime lights, earth and line on the horizon. Under the soft red glow of the wintertime sea clouds, and all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
I can almost feel the wind blow and taste that cool, dry, dusty autumn air in my mouth. Where the nighttime lights, earth and light on the horizon. Hear the soft red glow of the wintertime sea clouds, and all the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Days when I feel lost and separated, and every step I take falls on foreign ground, and I feel like going back to North Dakota. I'll take a job, find a wife, and finally settle down. But right now I'm addicted to emotion and freedom that my selfish solitude provides, and I'd hate to think that I'd become a stranger to the place where I was born, where my heart still resides, where the nighttime lights, earth and light on the horizon, under the soft red glow of the wintertime city clouds. All the memories come falling down on me every time I roll back to town. Every time I roll back around.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, President of the United Way of Cass Clay says about Hatch coaching.
One of the best things I can share is I've had an opportunity to sit down with a community leader and Eric. And we were talking, and this community leader said, you know, United Way, what's your connection there? And Eric said, you know, as a child, my family would have been a family that would have benefited from United Way programming. And you don't necessarily get to see that down the road because you see someone who's been very successful in business and you see somebody who has helped a lot of other people along the way. But sometimes we don't stop to ask, you know, what's the why? What's your why behind that?
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.